Omnipresent's a really big word. I don't mean it's a really big word in size, but it's big in its meaning. It means to be present in all places at all times. But it's not a word that we find in the Bible. We find it, though, when we refer to God. When referring to God, omnipresent means that God is capable of being anywhere and everywhere at the same time. It means his divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe, and there is no location where he cannot inhabit. There's no location where a person can hide from him. So if the word omnipresent is not in the Bible, are we correct to use it in our understanding of the Creator? Let's see what God has to say about it and read Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 through 24. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places, so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? You know, over the years I've observed many people who act in whatever manner they feel like acting at the time, as long as it suits their own purpose, sometimes for personal financial gain or to satisfy their lust for something that doesn't belong to them, or to get ahead one way or another without any regard for who gets hurt in the process, essentially exhibiting jealousy and selfishness. But what does the New Testament book of James tell us about jealousy and selfishness? In James 3, verse 16, he writes, "For where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is disorder and every evil practice." Like we were talking about earlier in Jerusalem. We find in Scripture that people have been that way for a long time. In Psalm 10, verse 11, it describes the thoughts of such people with hardened hearts who think that they're far from the Lord. Psalm 10:11 says, "He," that's the evil man, "he has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He'll never see." Well, apparently the evil man thinks that when God hides his face from him, he becomes blind to their ways. Not so. See, God tried to touch hardened hearts like those through his prophets. We read Jeremiah 23 a little bit earlier, where he tried to persuade those who had fallen away from him to turn back to the Lord. "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" says the Lord. Well, King David knew this was true, and he had the courage to acknowledge God's omnipresence. He wrote about the ways of the Lord, and if we're willing to listen, we can learn from David's inspired writings even today. Look at Psalm 139, for example. Psalm 139. In 139, verses 2, 1 and 2, David was inspired to write, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." And when I read through to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, makes me stop and think, do I have the courage to pray like David prayed in this psalm? Psalm 139, 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties or my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do I have the courage to invite God into my thoughts? Are my thoughts holy enough to please Him? Do I dare to invite God to search my heart and to know my heart? Do you? Pleasing God is the only way to salvation in heaven. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. He says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, Even so, we, the apostles, speak not as pleasing men, but God, pleasing God, who tests our hearts. See, many people are satisfied with only knowing what they want to know, what they think they need to know. And they base what they think they need to know on their own view of the world and not on a view acquired by the study of Scripture, God's Word. They think that if they don't ask the hard questions, that they won't be confronted with any hard answers. Yeah, not even if it's the truth. God indeed is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's also omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. There's no one stronger, no one wiser than he is, especially among his own creation. God is capable of being anywhere and everywhere at the same time. His divine presence encompasses every crevice of the universe. There's no place where he cannot hide, where you can hide from him. No place to hide, so what do we have to gain by ignoring him? Given that he's the eternal means that he is eternal, given that he is eternal, means that he will be there when his son, Jesus, will serve as judge of the living and the dead, as the one ordained by God. We read in Acts 10, verse 42. If we want to please God, we need to know what it is that will please him, don't we? There are many lessons throughout the Old Testament and New Testament that tell us what is acceptable to him. Obedience and truth are among the highest on the list. But I dare to say faith is first. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you truly want to please him, study God's word. Understanding will lead you to the knowledge that the Bible is God's inspired word, just as relevant to guide us today as it was in the beginning and has been ever since. Hear his word, believe it, and be willing to repent. Be willing to change your old ways for a new path so that you'll not be afraid to pray the prayer of David. Have the courage to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Once you're willing to make those changes, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. Be baptized for the remission of sin and lead a life faithful to God's word. All Christians should be willing to ask God to see if there is any wicked in me and lead us in the way everlasting. Christ died on the cross as part of God's plan for mankind's salvation. If it's time that you obey the gospel of Christ and become a Christian, or if you need encouraging words or prayers to the congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing.